Welcome to the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and I hope that you will contribute to the RBN Pledge Drive. And also, I failed to mention that there is a meeting in Atlanta, a town hall meeting, and you can get information about that on the radio schedule page on Wednesday's date, which was, what, the 8th. This is concerning the imposition of cell phone towers on public schools. So I do urge you to support that and go and let them know how you feel. It's between 1 and 3. And as I say, the details are at Wednesday's date at the radio schedule page. That's spingola.com. Just click on radio schedule. And we will take calls at 800-313-9443. Now, getting back to the, or before I do that, I think earlier this week I mentioned that I was compiling a list of all the things that the government has lied to its citizens about. And it's getting very lengthy. And if you have something that you would like to add to the list, feel free to call in. I mean, we could have 1,000 calls, I'm sure, just of the things that people, that the government has lied to us about. So if you would like to contribute to that list, feel free to do so. All righty. German officials protested to the Versailles Treaty, but understand that they were still being blockaded. Their people were dying. They were just overwhelmed. Clemenceau and Wilson sided with the Polish officials, many of whom were closet Bolsheviks. British officials tried to reason with Wilson, so he temporarily distanced himself from Clemenceau and then reverted to his position of granting the same consideration to the invaders as the victim. He said, well, and I quote, since Germany and Poland both claim these people, the Silesian Germans, who had lived there, by the way, for centuries, wouldn't it be wise to just let them decide for themselves, unquote. Essentially, Poland had no claim at all, but Wilson ignored such a concept, no doubt counseled by Colonel Edward House. Isaiah Bowman, who was the president of the American Geographical Society from 1915 to 1935, went to the conference in order to advise Wilson on how to reformat Central Europe, especially Germany, in accordance with the treaty. So here they were, they're just going to, you know, spread out a map of Europe, and then just kind of redraw it arbitrarily to put people where they thought they would have the most dissension, undoubtedly. The Germans were absolutely flabbergasted. Their spokesperson, Foreign Minister Count Ulrich von Brockdorff-Rantzau, remained seated as an insult to the others, and he pointed out the violations of the pre-armistice commitment. German officials prepared a 443-page counterproposal, and the German government offered $25 billion and rejected the proposed territorial changes. Philip Kerr wrote the rejection to Germany's counterproposals. Now, Philip Kerr belonged to Milner's Kindergarten. That was this roundtable group that later became part of the Pilgrim Society, basically. And the Pilgrim Society is the formalization of the 1897 agreement, the alliance between Britain and the United States, to thereafter, in warfare, split the plunder and the benefits of their warfare between each other. And it was formalized with the Pilgrims Society. So the Allies, oops, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
sure. There are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
I was talking about Philip Kerr, and he is the one that wrote the rejection to Germany's counter-proposals. And remember that they had created some, and we're now into June. The delegates first heard the stipulations of the Versailles Treaty on May 7th, and it was completed the day before in secret. And Philip Kerr was also one of the co-authors of the treaty. And he also wrote the rejection of the Germany's counterproposals, and he was part of the Milner's Kindergarten, which was basically part of the Cecil Rhodes Roundtable. So the Allies refused to budge, and so they gave Germany an ultimatum. On June 20th, 1919, the Prime Minister of France, Prime Minister of Britain, and Woodrow Wilson told the Germans that unless they signed the treaty by the evening of June 23rd, they would direct Ferdinand Foch, who commanded the Allied forces, to advance on Germany. In other words, they would invade them, and they would not be allowed to fight back. They would invade them. So not only did they blockade them, continue the blockade to starve them, now they were going to invade them. So they really didn't have a whole lot of choice. German advisors included, and listen to these names, okay? Included Max Warburg, Oscar Oppenheimer, Albrecht Mendelssohn Bartholdy, who was a great-grandson of Moses Mendelssohn. And he was also part of the German delegation to the League of Nations in Geneva beginning in 1931. But anyway, the chancellor for Germany at that point in time was Philipp Scheidemann. And he was only in office from February 13th through June 20th, 1919. And Reza Fan signed the document, he resigned. After his resignation, President Friedrich Ebert formed a new coalition government under Chancellor Gustav Bauer, who was the former chairman of the General Commission of Trade Unions for all of Germany from 1908 to 1918. So on June 22nd, the Reichstag ratified the treaty. On June 28, 1919, in the Hall of Mirrors at Versailles, exactly 5 years after assassins killed Franz Ferdinand, the delegates, except for the Chinese, signed the Treaty of Versailles. The Chinese refused in protest of the disposition of the pre-war German concessions in Shantung. Political leaders, bankers' agents, advisors and lawyers from the victorious nations had arrived and were ensconced in all those Paris hotels. They enjoyed the sumptuous meals, and they were prepared to spend at least a year to resolve, negotiate, and make decisions. Meanwhile, the entire population, because of a hellish war, was starving in Central Europe. The British maintained the blockade against Germany even after the signing of the Versailles Treaty until July 12, 1919, 8 long, agonizing months after the armistice. Count von Brockdorff-Rantzau addressed the Versailles Assembly, and I quote, "The hundreds of thousands of noncombatants who have perished since November 11, 1918, as a result of the blockade, were killed with cold deliberation after our enemies had been assured of their complete victory," unquote. Jan Smuts, one of Milner's associates, discovered a loophole in Robert Lansing's letter regarding the damages against civilians. Smuts skewed the issues in Britain's favor and persuaded Wilson to include, get this, a pension for the soldiers, widows, and orphans in the reparations package that the Germans were going to pay. You know, they're going to pay for all the damages to all the countries from the war, and now they're going to also give pensions to the soldiers, widows, and orphans in a war that they didn't want to participate in, that they didn't want to have, that they never started. John Maynard Keynes, representing the British Treasury, argued that those additions violated Wilson's 14 points and would increase the reparations by at least 2.5 times. Still, the Allies expected Germany to remit a preliminary payment by May 1921. These additions totaled almost $40 billion, far beyond their capacity to pay. The war planners, those who won the war, made financial demands in the billions of dollars. Prime Minister Lloyd George suggested $120 billion. Prime Minister Clemenceau wanted $220 billion. Lloyd George delegated the task of calculating the final reparations figures to a panel of experts with a target date of May 1921. To lighten the suffering of war-weary Europeans, they finally made the reparations demands. The British got the equivalent of $90 billion in addition to a portion of Germany's foreign colonies and German-owned European industries. The French got $200 billion. The U.S. wanted $25 to $30 billion. However, it was also important that Germany retain sufficient capital to rebuild their economy, which would help diminish destitution throughout war-torn Europe. But they didn't want them to build too much of it, just enough. Clemenceau and his assistant encouraged Polish officials to demand chunks of East Prussia in addition to Danzig and the Quarter. British officials wanted to put this issue to a vote, which irked the Poles and Clemenceau's assistant. their advocate. The vote would be in the districts of Allenstein and Marienwerder, accompanied by a massive propaganda campaign and overt intimidation. However, the Prussians voted almost unanimously, 98.73%, to remain German, a figure rarely mentioned in Allied history books. Next, they considered the annexation of Upper Silesia, a rich and highly industrialized province. Its loss would dramatically reduce Germany's power. Greedy Polish politicians had sent in armed groups by February 1919, which I mentioned before, to grab their legally sanctioned war booty. The Allies forced Germany to relinquish a sizable amount of territory, including vital mineral areas and the Polish quarter, which would isolate Prussia from the rest of the country. The Allies deprived Germany of its merchant fleet. She had to terminate all military drafts and reduce her troops to 100,000 for internal peacekeeping only. She had to drastically reduce her naval fleet and disband the submarine fleet. She had to destroy all military fortifications and give up the right to have heavy artillery, tanks, submarines, and all aviation. The Allies prohibited Germany's military industry from designing or owning chemical weapons, and they had to destroy their stock of poisonous biological warfare weapons. International officials would have to supervise any German arms production. So there were several treaties signed during the conference in Paris. The first one was the Treaty of Versailles, June 28, 1919, for the disposition of the German Empire. Number two, the Treaty of Saint-Germain on September 10, 1919, for the disposition of Austria. Number three, the Treaty of Neuilly, November 27, 1919, for the disposition of Bulgaria. Number four, the Treaty of Trianon, June 4, 1920, for the disposition of Hungary. The Treaty of Sèvres on August 10, 1920, later revised by the Treaty of Lausanne, which occurred on July 24, 1923, for the disposition and partition of the Ottoman Empire. Now, remember, the Ottoman Empire was also an ally of Germany. And so, can you just imagine this whole area just being chopped up, redivided, reformatted, and think of if this happened in this country, if somebody came in and sat down with a map and just all of a sudden divided everything up, how would you feel? Pretty terrible. The Allies forced Hungary, a quickly developing country who supported Germany, according to the treaty that they had to sign, to relinquish over two-thirds of its territory. Imagine if some enemies came into the United States and said, okay, I mean, maybe they're already here. You have to relinquish two-thirds of the country to China or whomever. How would you feel? This shifted 3.3 million ethnic Hungarians into Romania and Czechoslovakia. The newly configured Hungary also had to pay war reparations to its neighbors. Ethnic Hungarians would be living in a foreign land where local residents subjected them to discrimination and difficulty in assimilating. Hungarians and non-Hungarian historians justifiably claim that the real objective of the treaty was an attempt to dismantle a major power in Central Europe. The Allies' priority was to prevent Germany's resurgence. Therefore, they surrounded Germany's allies, Austria and Hungary, with more powerful, bigger states friendly to the Allies. Now, keep in mind, when Germany fell, that all of Europe suffered because Germany was the most powerful, strongest country in Central Europe. All righty, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Self-Reliance Expo is coming to the Mesquite Convention Center February 10th and 11th. The keynote presenter is Mike Adams, the health ranger and editor-in-chief of naturalnews.com. Come and hear what more than 3.2 million people read about from Mike Adams every month. Mike will be speaking on survival nutrition, how to choose foods and supplements that will keep you alive and healthy. Hourly education workshops and presentations will be taking place each day at the Self-Reliance Expo. Classes include cooking essentials by Sun Ovens, personal protection, home defense, canine demonstrations, homeschooling, learn to suture by Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, and how to build underground structures. This is one expo that is a must for all ages. There will be prize giveaways and drawings, exhibitor awards, and much more. For more information, go to selfrelianceexpo.com. Like us on Facebook and save $2 when buying your tickets online. Kids 12 and under are free. Tickets valid for both days, so bring the whole family. selfrelianceexpo.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Have you been diagnosed with cancer and told that there isn't any alternative to chemo, radiation, and surgery? Are you tired of hearing that if you want to survive, you must be brave and accept the suffering that comes with cancer treatments today? LaserMed Inc. says fight back, because now it's cancer's turn to die with its revolutionary patented laser treatment called Leash Therapy. Without cutting, bleeding, poisoning, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin and breast cancer in place, as well as some other types of cancer, no matter what the size. To find out if you qualify for this therapy, call 918-398-9577. That's 918-398-9577. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com.
Welcome back. Please feel free to call in at 800-313-9443 if you would like to contribute. The Treaty of Saint-Germain amputated Austria from all of its industrial areas and natural resources, which were located in the German-populated areas of Austrian Silesia and the Sudetenland. Austria was nothing but a skeleton of a state with decreased population of just 7 million people. The Allies reduced the multinational Austria-Hungary into numerous pieces lacking the cohesiveness they once enjoyed. This partition spawned the state of Czechoslovakia, whose population consisted of 46% Czechs, 13% Slovaks, 2% Poles, 3% Ukrainians, 8% Hungarians, and 3.5 million Germans for 28%. This unproductive dissection, administered by Archibald C. Coolidge, part of Edward M. House's inquiry, but under the auspices of the American Expert Commission, placed several thousand Germans under Czech domination and placed German industrial areas from northern Bohemia into Saxony. The Austrians, who had no voice in the matter, contested this arbitrary slicing and dicing. Nearly 1.5 million Germans, now considered minorities, remained in Romania, Yugoslavia, Banar, Sirmia, Czechoslovakia, Bačka, and Slovenia. The provisions of the Treaty of Trianon placed 550,000 Germans into what remained of Hungary. Commercially, Germany lost all of her African colonies. The Allies placed them under the League of Nations jurisdiction. France received Alsace-Lorraine and all the coal resources in the Saar district, 991.8 square miles on the border between France and Germany, with the League of Nations administering the area. I mean, that's, imagine, almost 1,000 square miles of the coal resources. Poland got the key industrialized area of Upper Silesia, most of Posen province, and West Prussia, which created what people call the Polish Quarter, with access to the sea. This separated East Prussia from the rest of the country. This would cut Prussia in half and the so-called Polish Quarter and amputate the city of Danzig from Germany. Poland would receive Upper Silesia, one of Germany's richest areas, producing 20% of its coal, 57% of its lead, and 72% of its zinc. They forced Germany to relinquish Posen, another rich German province. Yet Danzig was almost completely German in composition. Churchill wrote, and I quote, "German science and capital had created a vigorous industry in this territory. German culture, imposed by the power of an energetic empire, had left its mark everywhere," unquote. He later admitted, "The commission first proposed to place Danzig entirely under Polish sovereignty, which would subject Danzigers to Polish laws and mandatory conscription in the Polish army," unquote. For centuries, there were few Poles in Danzig, yet they gifted Poland control of the city's customs, taxes, port facilities, and the city's diplomatic representation. This required that any German Danziger traveling from the area had to get a passport or visa from the Polish embassies and consulates, a group of hateful and arrogant alien bureaucrats. When the Danzigers finally voted, just before the Second World War, they chose Germany by a margin of 99%. Wilson had guaranteed Poland free and secure access to the sea. And this is just amazing, because dozens of biased historians and journalists have reported, thus accrediting the creation of the quarter, a piece of land 20 to 70 miles wide, right across Germany. No one would have posed such an incursion on France, but thought nothing of imposing it on Germany. For 20 years, Germans were compelled to travel from one part of Germany to the other part, locked in sealed trains, where they were humiliated at the two Polish borders while entering and leaving the quarter. All righty, we're going to a break. Feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, welcome back. This is Deanna. And basically, you know, the Allies had promised that Poland could have access, free and safe access to the sea. But instead of just giving them free and secure access to the sea, they totally gave them the whole the whole city. And so that they took over the whole city, even though it was predominantly composed of Germans. The British establishment helped themselves to the German colonial empire, German assets, the Navy, everything. It was just open territory on German assets. Clemenceau directed that the residents of Upper Silesia cast a vote to determine if they wanted to reunite with Germany thereafter. The Allies forced Germany to renounce its claims to Upper Silesia in favor of Poland at the new border. Remember that provisional border? Well, they just made it permanent. German officials, troops, and non-residents had to leave the area. An unbiased Allied commission of four members would conduct the vote. The Allies would send troops to occupy the area. The Allies would not allow the German voters access to any campaign information. Of course, the foreign troops would predictably intimidate the voters, actions that favored Poland. However, the troops did not arrive for 6 months, which allowed a huge influx of armed Polish agents who terrorized the disarmed Germans. On July 10, 1919, the Polish terrorists probably Bolsheviks, destroyed the three key bridges over the Oder River. That's O-D-E-R, Oder River. They also patrolled the railway stations, while Warsaw's politicians, with their agents, controlled the Silesian vote, given the absence of Allied troops. So it was just, everything was just rather a mess. The Allies forced Germany to surrender, in addition to what they already surrendered of their coal manufacturing region. 67,273 square kilometers, comprising one-eighth of its territory, which had a population of 5,138,000 people. The Allies appropriated all merchant ships over a certain size, a quarter of the fishing fleet, and a fifth of the river fleet, and half of all German paints and non-military chemicals, as well as their production of those items for the next 5 years. Over the next 5 years, Germany had to construct merchant ships for the Allies. Further, she was to supply 140 million tons of coal to France, 80 million tons to Belgium, and 77 million tons to Italy. The Allies gained the right to use all German railways, ports, waterways for a very small remuneration, all in addition to huge reparations. They designed these unrealistic and inequitable provisions not to promote peace, but to instill resentment, to set the stage for more warfare. And of course, we know about the horrid currency situation, the deflation that set in Germany in the 1920s, and all the speculation, particularly from the people who went in and bought up all these properties from people. It was just an unbelievable situation. All right, why don't we take a call? Let's take Paul in New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. When I heard you reciting the names of the people attending the parents' conference, it seemed like, again, as an amateur anthropologist, one of the things I like to do is just count the presence of Jews or overrepresentation of any ethnic group at important meetings. And in this instance, it seemed like 90% of the people you were saying, the big leaders were disproportionately Jewish, and yet they make up a tiny percentage of the European population.
That's true. They were, by and large, Jewish, and it was the people who are referred to as the November criminals, who basically sold out Germany, then became part of the government, and became what became the Weimar Republic. And they sent the people that represented the bankers and that same group of people in Germany. And, Germany didn't have a chance with the Versailles Treaty, at the peace conference. I mean, they didn't even allow them to negotiate or to have any say in what happened to them. And they rejected their response to it.
When you think about World War I and II, you basically saw, because of it, just a mass weakening of the genetic stock of Europeans. In a sense, that's what's very degenerate in an evolutionary sense about warfare. In modern warfare, you take the best and the finest men, and you send them off to die. In primitive warfare, the casualties would be great, but at least there would be some heroic gains for the soldiers if it was on a volunteer basis, and they would come back and have a better choice of mate selection because of the enhanced status of being a warrior. So modern warfare has just basically weakened any national group that embarks upon it on a large scale. And of course, you could see of it as the demographic destruction of the European people because of World War I and II.
Right.
In Russia, we see a declining population. Today we see like just a basically a cultural malaise. And if you think of it, some of the finest men in Europe and in the United States were just wasted on wars that could have been resolved politically if the political elite were willing to avoid warfare.
But not only were they not willing to avoid it, they are the ones that planned it and provoked it and started it and got it going. I mean, they wanted this. And they squandered their people.
That's true. If they're not their people, if you look at it today, if those people back then pushing for these wars against Germany were disproportionately Jewish, and they were getting Gentiles to fight their war for them, and the Jews in Germany never considered themselves really German, right? Then why not? You know, they just think it's funny running a nation they live in for a while into the ground, and when it gets uncomfortable, move to the next nation.
Right.
You know, and so now we see an instance of the same old thing going on again, where you see the Jews in the United States and the Zionists throughout the world clamoring for Gentiles in the United States to fight the Iranians, who are Gentiles, for the benefit of the Jewish state. And so what I'd like to see is nobody fall for it. You know, the Gentiles need to opt out of these Jewish wars. That's why it's very important that we call them basically Zionist wars, to brand it. And nothing more than my discussion about these wars is seeing so many of our, white European brothers, right, and even non-white Americans coming back wounded, handicapped. And yet there's a very good article on this, Deanne, if you want to look it up, written in the I just happened upon it in the New Jersey Jewish Times about an American colonel named Rabbi Leinwand. And he basically said how he was embarrassed that Jews are vastly underrepresented in the United States military, and that he admits that they're only about .05% of the population of the U.S. military. Yet they're 2.5% of the population. So,
right. So
if they're underrepresented in fighting the wars, but notice they're very overrepresented as neocon talk show hosts, as advocates in the Senate, like Senator Lieberman and others, and trying to, agitate America to take up wars for Jewish goals. And obviously, from World War I and World War II, we can see that the Jewish goals aren't necessarily our goals.
Right. I mean, the whole purpose for World War I was to destroy the Ottoman Empire and to start the process of the establishing the Israeli state there. And Colonel House, Edward Mandel House, his actual name was Huis, H-U-I-S, which is Jewish, and he apparently had a working copy of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And he went to Europe in, I believe it was February of 1914. He wanted to evaluate the situation over there because his British counterparts were saying, oh, gosh, Germany wants to start war and Germany's doing this. It's the same thing that we hear about Iran. They're going to wipe Israel off the map. Well, he went and he talked to Kaiser Wilhelm, and he was no more interested in having a war than anybody. He absolutely did not want a war. All of this was just propaganda. But basically, at the end of his six-month stay, he wrote the Kaiser off, went home, and within a short period of time, you had the assassination in Sarajevo, which was conducted by the Black Hand, which was a Masonic organization. And basically, they used that incident, plus a few more, like the Lusitania, the sinking of the Lusitania, which they used later on in the war to get the U.S. involved in it. But, I mean, it's false flags, it's incidences to get people incensed and to get, in fact, Churchill called the Americans, I think there was 128 Americans on the Lusitania, he said they're live bait. So all you have to do is use live bait. Kill a few Americans and you're going to get the whole country incensed, as they did on 9/11.
And one thing about, like, America particularly in a war and getting into wars. Really, every war, when we have to go thousands of miles across the ocean in a ship, is a war of imperialism. Really, we are blessed, as Washington said, by Providence, of having these two huge oceans to protect us from foreign invaders. The only really potential enemies should be either Canada or Mexico, which are hardly potential threats at all. So the very fact that we have to conjure up enemies out of the blue so far away shows that we have an imperialist mindset. And yet the average American has not benefited from any of these recent wars. If anything, we're getting more and more of a police state domestically from it, right? And we're not benefiting from it other than having less vacation time, higher taxes, and all our basic wealth and treasure squandered in these futile endeavors that really never turn out for the good of ourselves or our people. It's been a complete waste. And it's, sometimes you think that war would make us more manly. I think we're in an incredibly timid state of the you know, the psyche of the American populace now, is we're afraid of our own shadows, and TSA has us looking at everybody as a potential terrorist, and it's getting absurd.
Of course. And, of course, warfare is all just a big transference of wealth. It's stripping countries of their resources, of their, you know, and even in Iraq, you go in, you bomb the country into smithereens, then the well-connected corporations who give their contributions to the politicians get the contracts to go in and to rebuild. Of course, they haven't done a really good job in Iraq. They've just taken a lot of money, but we've not seen any building in Iraq, nor have we seen anything going on in Afghanistan. The money has just changed pockets, and then you have Libya. And what happened to all of Libya's gold? It's probably in the City of London's vaults, Rothschild vaults. So when you look behind the curtain and figure out who's doing all this war planning, you recognize that there's absolutely no justification for any war. If you look at all the wars we've ever been engaged in history, all of them have been planned, provoked, and none of them have been for a valid reason.
I would agree with that.
Including the Civil War.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's something about the compulsion and that people fall for it every time, Americans. And yet we hear about how, you know, most American soldiers from the founding of this nation are never get any benefit when the war is over, other than some social opprobrium. they really never, you know, the government always reneges on any kind of fiduciary payment for their services. And then later on, they're usually treated like dogs, as we saw when they, what was it, in the 1920s when they basically...
Oh, the Bonus Army?
Yeah, they had the Bonus Army, and the camps were out in Washington, D.C., and they were camping out there, and they basically just shot those men down until they fled.
Of course they did.
Yeah, and so I don't see, and this is what we need to get to our young men out there, is really... there's no reason to sign up in the military. Just get a normal job and work in, trying to improve your lives, go to college, et cetera.
I think that a lot of people now are joining the military because they can't find a job, and that's an alternative. And I think that that they've orchestrated the economy to do just that, so that they can get all these people to go on, you know, squander their lives in some stupid war.
Yeah, well, you can go compete with the... you know, the starting wage at a fast food restaurants, I guess. Those are your options. And sadly so. You know, this has been, even that's been orchestrated by our government and by Wall Street.
Of course, with NAFTA and CAFTA and giving away all of our patents to Japan after World War II. I mean, this is all orchestrated. This is part of the function of making this a third world country.
Yeah,
and it's
pretty
deliberate
much.
And designed to do that.
And as I said in the beginning, is if the finest men have been selected out and their genes are lost in warfare at a young age, then that gets rid of the quality of men to get out there. Instead of dying in foxholes, they could have been our representatives in Washington fighting for our people. And so that's the tragedy of all these wars.
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
And, of course, we are engaged in, they are engaged in economic warfare here against us. So.
Yeah, indeed.
All righty. Hey, right, Paul, thanks for your call.
Yep.
All righty, let's take Mark in Louisiana. Mark, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I didn't catch the very beginning of your program, but it seems like you were reading from a book or some notes earlier.
Yeah, I'm just reading from some research that I've done that's going to be in my second book.
Oh, okay. Well, I basically agree just about with everything. I mean, you know, those names, you know, Warburg, Colonel Mandelhaus, you know, they keep popping up, you know, in the Council on Foreign Relations, the Federal Reserve, you know, the League of Nations, you know, and all these things. There's no question about the fact that they're very evil conspirators. But
right.
One thing...
Mark, could you hold that thought?
Sure.
We do have to do a 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break, okay?
Inflammation can cause pain and makes getting around a lot harder. Through injuries or just old age, it's important to use anti-inflammatories, but the natural way. You need relief. You need GDU. Daniel Chapter 1's GDU is an all-natural anti-inflammatory, a proteolytic enzyme that has helped thousands of people stop taking COX-2 inhibitors. They're deadly, can cause liver failure and kidney failure. Just to name a couple side effects. GDU has been for years one of Daniel Chapter 1's customers' star products. Try all-natural GDU and feel the difference. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Get GDU, the natural anti-inflammatory. Use promo code 300A for a discount. That's promo code 300A. Call 800-504-5511 and get your GDU today.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and I was talking to Mark in Louisiana. So, Mark, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
So, what I was going to say that just about maybe 99% of what you read is correct, one opinion that is really, as far as I'm concerned, contrary to facts, is the fact that Germany didn't want the war. Based on the footage that I've seen and many other things, it is very clear that the people were drunk with the tremendous desire to go to war. And all sides, they were very happy, like they were going to a picnic.
Mark, where did you see this footage, Mark?
I've seen it. In documentaries all over the place, but not just the Germans.
Who made the documentaries?
On the German side, the Germans did. On the French side, the French did.
Who made the documentaries that you looked at?
Well, they were made around 1914. You mean who took the who was?
Yeah, I'm asking you specifically where you're getting your information. I'm asking you specifically where you're getting your information, and how you happened to see a German film.
The fact that I saw the footage, the films going back
in your local theater.
I don't remember exactly. It was probably more on television, than
okay. And
it could have been on History Channel. It could have been on.
Do you recognize, Mark, that the History Channel is owned by a Jewish company?
Yes,
and
I'm aware
they
of
have
that,
a special contract with the Smithsonian Institute that they are the only company that can use the artifacts and the films and the records of the Smithsonian Institute, and that Sumner Redstone has this contract. And so that what you see on television is programming. It is to program the public to believe what they want you to believe.
Well, they covered all the sides. Unless somebody suggests that
did they cover the Jewish side? Did they talk about the people in the boardrooms who were making these war plans, or did they just show you the pictures that they wanted
they
to show you?
Showed the pictures and what was going on, but I have no reason to believe that that they're fake.
They
could be. I'm not saying that they're not.
Well, they might be very credible, but under what circumstances were they taken? I mean, even when we went into Iraq, they had a PR group go in there with the U.S. Army and take pictures showing the public, showing what they wanted us to believe.
Well, that's true, but back in 1914, I don't think that these guys,
yes, they were. Hollywood was making anti-German movies back in 1914, 1915, 17, 18.
Well, if Germany didn't want the war, it didn't have to egg Austria and
They didn't. Russia declared war on Germany. Okay? Germany didn't declare war first. You need to get your facts straight.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark, for calling in. We've run out of time. Thank you, listeners. Have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. Bye-bye for now.